The years of 1947 to 1966 marked the peak of Byron Bay's industrial era. The town was unkindly described as reeking from the stench originating from the piggery, meatworks and whaling factories, with their effluent colouring the sea and washing on the shore. Towards the end of this era, surfers came to town. They were the nascent beginning of a new industry. Travel is something that surfers do in search of waves, and in the 1960s, they began to move around Australia and the world. Burgeoning hippie values and the counterculture were embraced by surfers as a lifestyle. Byron Bay was never really a hippie town, even though the media today still perpetuates the myth. Surfing's shortboard revolution, from longboards to shortboards, happened between 1967 and 1969. A significant part of this in Byron Bay, sparked by American George Greeno and Australian Bob McTavish. Surfing magazines and films arrived, and the soul surfing era began. Surfers turned Byron Bay from fibro grey into technicolour, epitomised by the opening of the Neverland shop on Johnson Street in 1972. Surfers set the agenda for what Byron was to become, changing it from its industrial working class roots into a culturally diverse town. They were small in numbers, but in retrospect their influence was immense. They questioned the Vietnam War, conservative politics, and societal norms generally. Many were evading the draft and some had been in Vietnam. Surfers had worked out that there was a different way to live. Surfing came first and the rest of life could be fitted in around it. There wasn't much interest in working a Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 week. In Byron Bay and Lennox Head, they found paradise. Iconic, consistent waves, favourable climate, heightened atmosphere, cheap housing, food and freedom. Throughout the 1960s and early 1970s, Byron Bay was a very small town of a few thousand people. It wasn't big enough to have its own detectives, so the detectives based in Lismore covered it. During the week, it was a quiet town with busy weekends. We weren't worried about who was coming into town, except maybe what they were doing in town, according to one of the detectives. The surfers attracted non-surfers, including wealthy young people living off their family money, actors and actresses, musicians and criminals. Byron Bay wasn't really the small town it appeared to be. We're looking back from now what people think it was.